This is the homily for the fifth Sunday of Lent, 2024, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass are the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, and the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. The homilist was Father Ignacio Gonzalez.
When I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. Words from our Lord Jesus in today's Gospel from the 12th chapter of John. On this fifth Sunday of Lent, it helps to look back to see where we have been on our spiritual journey in preparation for Easter. To look back to what brought us to hear Jesus say that when he is lifted up, he will draw everyone to himself. Because Lent is a time of prayers, fasting, and almsgiving, when we are tempted to ignore or wiggle around our Lenten penitential practices. Every Sunday after Ash Wednesday, then, we have the temptation of Jesus. Each year we get a different account because of the three-year cycle, year A, B, and C, or Matthew, Mark, and Luke, respectively. And this year we are in year B, the Gospel of Mark, which most biblical scholars say is the oldest of the Gospels, and it is the shortest, only 14 chapters. So Lent always begins with the temptation of Jesus. He was tempted and overcame his temptations. We are tempted, and with his help, we can overcome our own temptations. Then the following Sunday, the second Sunday of Lent, is the fourth luminous mystery of the Rosary, or the mystery of light par excellence, as John Paul II described it in his encyclical that gave us the Luminous Mysteries in 2002. It is the Transfiguration, where only Peter, James, and John, not all 12, but just 3 out of the 12, Peter, James, and John witnessed Christ in his divinity, next to Moses, symbolizing the law, and Elijah, symbolizing the prophets, where Jesus himself is the embodiment of the law and the fulfillment of the prophets. The third Sunday of Lent is when Jesus goes into the marketplace and overturns the money changers. When he does this, he says, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Then they ask him what sign he can show them for doing this, and he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up." Week 4, which was last week, was when Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, the most famous line of the New Testament, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." And then we get these comforting words: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." We also heard this last week, which ties into today's Gospel. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That is Jesus with Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and at the beginning of the account when they're speaking together. And Jesus references the serpent, and if we remember from the Old Testament, when the Israelites were wandering in the desert, and they were being bitten by the serpents, and God commanded Moses to fashion an image of a serpent, and that's why we see on medicine the serpent wrapped around a pole. Anyone who looks up at that will be healed. All of that is in reference to our Lord on the cross. Today we get John chapter 12, where our Lord repeats what he said to Nicodemus: "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." John then writes to inform the reader what Jesus meant. He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. That is what we will get in next week's Gospel, the entirety of the Passion of our Lord Jesus on Palm Sunday. Thus, everything in Lent is preparing us to be with Jesus at Calvary, standing with the Blessed Mother, with John the beloved disciple, and the other woman and the crowd. Who are we to being among those chosen to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We are not unlike the Greeks at the beginning of today's Gospel. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Sir, we would like to see Jesus. Are we here disciples of Christ such that others can ask us about our faith enough for them to want to see Jesus? Notice how this unfolds in the Gospel. The Greeks, who were either Gentile converts to Judaism or God-fearers, who were attracted to Judaism, participate and anticipate the prophecy at the end of the Gospel that Jesus would draw everyone to himself when he is lifted up. The Greeks went to Philip first, and then he went to Andrew, and then Philip and Andrew take them to Jesus. We do have direct access to Jesus. Yes, we can go directly to him. But it also helps to be with others who know Jesus better than we do. One of the reasons I love being a monk here at the Abbey is that I can live and learn from men who have been here longer than I have been alive. I learn from them how to pray, how to be still, how to listen well and listen deeply for the voice of the Lord, how to let go of everything that is passing and hold on to that which endures for eternity. Jesus' answer is interesting. The hour has come. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Remember from John chapter 2, the second luminous mystery of the Rosary, where Jesus tells Mary at the wedding of Cana that his hour had not yet come. She goes over his head, instructs the servants to do whatever he tells you. And honoring his mother's request, Jesus performs his first miracle of turning water into wine. If we meditate on this image, is it not a progression of faith beginning with water, the waters of baptism that wash away original sin? Water becomes wine. That is typical of serving at a feast where people are celebrating God's blessings. Then wine at every Mass becomes the blood of Christ, fulfilling what he said in John 6, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life within you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." There is that phrase again. I will raise him. I will raise him on the last day. Because we are in year B, the reading for today is John chapter 12, where the Greeks come to Jesus, setting in motion his passion that we will celebrate next week. But if we were in year A, and this was an option I chose not to do to stay with B, we would have read John chapter 11, the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead. If you have time today or sometime this week, read both chapters, John 11 and then 12. Read the account again of this miracle. Jesus is not the first to be raised from the dead. He resurrects the widow of Nain's son, and he also resurrects Jairus' daughter. And in this case, there was a question about whether she was dead because Jesus said she's only sleeping. The people in the room knew that she was dead. Jesus said she's only sleeping. Word gets out that she wakes up. Well, she wasn't really dead. But with Lazarus, there was no question. It was 4 days, John records, that there would have been a stench of rotting flesh. So there was no doubt that Lazarus had died. And Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, shows everyone what that means. Read John now in John 12, verse 9, a few verses before today's Gospel. Greeks are going to see, where Greeks are going to see Jesus. So at the beginning of John, when a great crowd of Jews heard that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And when I was looking at the phrases, because I always like to look at the readings in context of where they are, this line jumped out at me. The chief priests planned to put Lazarus also to death, because on account of him, many were going away and believing in Jesus. They tried to kill Lazarus. They did not want word to get out that he had been raised from the dead. Word was spreading more and more, such that the Gentiles, those who were not of the Jewish faith, also wanted to see Jesus, who teaches us about not only his death, but about ours as well. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Lent is a time for us to die to ourselves, die to our desires, our wants, our comforts of this life that bring a sense of security. Things of this world are passing, and we are to cling to things that are eternal. And as the Latin phrase at the entrance of the Abbey School says, always we begin again. At this Mass, let us recommit ourselves to our Lenten practices and be ever more fervent as we prepare to walk with Jesus in his Passion next week, so that we can celebrate Easter in 2 weeks. Amen.